If you're under 120, you're a young man. And God made that man to have sex with his wife. I mean, I'm going to be like the guy down at the seminary. There's a young man in seminary, and there was an 84-year-old man there. And he's teaching. And they was teaching about these things. And he said, "Sir, professor, how old do you have to get before you don't enjoy sex with your wife anymore?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "What do you mean you don't know? Aren't you 84? He said, "Yeah." He said, "Don't you know how old you have to be?" He said, "No." He said, "I still enjoy intimacy with my wife. I may be 84, but we still have sexual relationship." You know? I mean, Abraham was 175, and was he bringing forth children? Obviously, he was still having sex at 175, because it's hard to bring them without it, right? I don't know. I think that people think when they get over 50 or 60 that, you know, that's something you don't do no more. Well, I got news for you. You know, that ain't the way a man's made. It shouldn't be the way your wife's made. You know, I mean, I don't know how old you have to get before you don't enjoy sex, because I hadn't got there yet. You know, like I've said a lot of times, there may be snow on the roof, but there's a fire in the furnace. I'm going to tell you for sure. I'm still a young man. Praise God. And I enjoy a sexual relationship with my wife. You know, and if you don't, there's something wrong with you. And if you're not having that sexual relationship with your wife, there's something wrong in your marriage. You know, it's not the way God planned it. But he says it right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says the husband should not deprive his wife of sexual intimacy, which is her right as a married woman. And did he put an age on it? No. Did he put any requirements, anything in there? No. Nor should the wife deprive her husband. The wife, when she gets married, gives authority over her body to who? Her husband. He's in charge. So, and the husband also gives authority over his body to his wife. Both of them. Okay, let's go to verse 5 and 6. So do not deprive each other of sexual relations. The only exception to this rule. Oh, there's an exception. Oh, here's one. The only exception to this rule would be the agreement of both husband and wife to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so they can give themselves more completely to prayer. Oh, so you want to pray and fast for a week? Then he said it's okay. If both of you agree. Your wife said, "Well, I don't want to have sex for a week. I want to pray and fast." He said, "Well, I don't think I can go a week, but let's try it for 3 days." If that's all he can agree to, if he's in charge, that's what you agree upon. We go 3 days, we pray, and we fast for 3 days. But if they both agree, "Hey, we're going to do this for 2 weeks." If both of them's in agreement. Is that what he said? The only exception to this rule would be the agreement of both husband and wife to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so they can give themselves more completely to prayer. Afterwards, they should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt them because of their lack of self-control. And is there anything people have a lack of self-control? Is when it comes to your sexuality. Especially men. It's so easy for the devil to bring some female, one of his little culprits, into a man and get him off, to draw him off so he can have sex with another woman that he's not married to because his wife is not meeting his need. Let me tell you what. God's going to judge his wife. If that wife will not meet that husband's requirements in the marriage bed, I'm going to tell you that woman's going to be judged by God. He told her to do this. "I did not write this book." Who wrote this book? Now then, since we're so weak in our self-control, it's real easy for the devil to come by and get somebody to fall sexually. And then when you do, guess what the beast does? "Oh, God! God!" He comes, "God, look at your little stupid son down there. I cheated. Oh, yeah, he's not much. Yeah, I know your spirit's in him, but I'm bigger than you. I got to him." Can you imagine that? Because are we weak when it comes to sex? Sure. I mean, you got to be made out of something to not fall as a Christian man or woman. It's a shame to me today the number of people that I deal with that are married, that's having a relationship with somebody they're not married to. I think, God, what is wrong with us? It's a good thing I'm not God. Because if I was and I heard about these things, I'd just kill you. And then I wouldn't have many people come to see me after that. Well, if I go over there, somebody's going to kill me. I ain't going to go over there and talk to him about what my problem is. But you know, that's what God used to do. When a man and woman in the Old Covenant had sex with somebody they wasn't married to, the punishment was penalty of death. So we didn't have very many second offenders. I mean, when they say, that's just like the man, Mr. Mack, that used to live behind me over in Highland Village. He was about, you know, he was a real old man back in those days. I was about 30 and he was about 75. You know, boy, was he old. You know, you think somebody's 75 when you're 30, they're ancient. Till you get there, and then you realize that's not so ancient. I asked him one day, I said, Mr. Mack, what is the... I said, since you were telling me about having to come to town once a week over to the city of McKinney, I mean once a month, to get sugar and flour and stuff like that, I said, what was it that you remember that most impressed you about those old days? He said, Thurman, one time we come to town on Saturday, and they was building a set of things which I didn't know what they were until I got there, and they called them a gallows. And I said, what's those? They said, we're going to hang a man there after a while. And so he said, I kind of stood around. Here I'm a 10 or 12 year old boy. He said, they took a man and they had his hands behind him, and they took him up on a platform, put a hood around his head, and put that noose around his neck, and he was standing there with his hands behind him, and all of a sudden the little door under him come loose, and this guy fell to the end of that rope and thud and broke his neck. And he said, I said, good grief, what did that man do? They said, he stole a horse. He said, man, I won't ever steal nothing as long as I live. You know, that has an impact on people. You know that? He, that was as clear in his mind at 75 as it was when it happened when he was 10. He never forgot seeing that man die. He said, I can still hear that thug whenever it broke his neck. Hey, today God's not doing it exactly like that, but when we as a church are sinning, He's getting to us in sickness and pain and disease. And He's the one putting it on us. I mean, a lot of people don't believe that. God is the one to put sickness on you. God's the one who takes it off of you. The devil is a tool that he uses now to make it happen. But if you don't sin, or if you get your sins repented of, and we pray for you, we've seen what we've seen with you thousands of times, sir. I mean, it's not a coincidence anymore. But when you have never seen it before in your life, it makes an impact on you, doesn't it? It sure does. But we've seen this so many times. Now then, as we go on down here in verse, where was I? I wish everyone could, okay. So do not deprive each other of sexual intimacy. Give themselves to prayer. This is only my suggestion. It's not meant to be an absolute rule. Okay, verse 7 and 8. I wish everyone could get along without marrying, just as I do. But we are not all the same. God gives some the gift of marriage, and to others He gives the gift of singleness. Isn't that something? Now, can God do that? Yes, He can. He certainly can. Now, I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried just as I am. If you're not married, don't get married unless you can't handle it. See what he says, verse 9 and 10. But if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. Now then, if you seek God, He can control you. I mean, I had been married for 41 and a half years to a normal woman. No problems. And then she got killed in a car wreck. So for 2.5 years, I had no mate. I mean, I could live with or without sex. It didn't really bother me. You know, I thought, no, I've lived 41 and a half years here. I'm 60-something years old now. I thought, my life of sex is over, so forget it. You know, God, you can help me. I don't need it. I can live without it. So I went 2.5 years or so with no sex. No problem. I could have lived without it the rest of my life. But then God brought me a new wife. When He brought me a new life, a new wife, then it became normal again to have a normal sexual relationship again. You know, but I could have lived without it, but I'd much rather live with it. You know, so that's just the way life is. I'm going to tell you the truth. I enjoy my relationship, my intimacy with my wife. I enjoy it, and I think she enjoys it too. You know, but we enjoy our sexual relationship. You know, yeah, we may be, she's fixing to be 61 in a few days, and I'm fixing to be 70 in a few days, but that don't mean nothing. You know, we're still normal human beings, you know, so praise God. Now then, for those who are married, I have a command that comes not from me, but from the Lord. A wife must only once in a while leave her husband. That must be the way we read it. What does it say? A wife must not leave her husband. Let's see what it says after that. And who did that say that was coming from? The Lord. So a Christian woman has no right to leave her husband. But if she does, although God told her not to, but if she does, let her remain single or else go back to him. She ain't supposed to get married to somebody else. And the husband must not leave his wife. Now, I will speak to the rest of you, though I do not have a direct command from the Lord. Now, that other was a direct command from God. But this is that if a Christian man has a wife who is an unbeliever and she is willing to continue living with him, he must not leave her. In other words, if you're married, and a lot of people meet that category, that criteria. You're living with a non-believer, but you don't have to leave them.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.